The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Thank you. Welcome to the 365 Message Center Show. We plan for change, prevent or fix. Stay informed. Good now to everyone, wherever and whenever you are.
Hello.
Today, Daniel. We don't have a lot of messages today.
Well, and do you know why?
This Thanksgiving thing is a
place, right? Or? Yeah, I think that's it. This past week has been a very short week for most people in the U.S.
Yeah,
it is. We celebrate this thing called Thanksgiving, and most people take a couple days off for the week. Some take even more. So I was not surprised to see that the number of messages are low this week. But what we lack in quantity, we make up in quality, right?
And personality, man.
Personality.
Yeah.
Personality.
Because there's other things to talk about as well. If this doesn't jazz you today, I've had a couple of interesting Twitter conversations with people around stuff to do with Microsoft 365. So we could talk about that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive into it, please,
sir. Let's dive into it. Yeah, that's right. Good. Windows Server 2008 R2 and Server 2012 R2 in support for Office 365 Pro Plus, MC19675. Does this surprise you?
Absolutely not. In fact, I'm keeping up with these end of life, so no, it does not surprise me, but it also doesn't surprise me because I've been talking with a lot of customers trying to get move away from Server 2008 and 2012. And so there's been a lot of conversations about moving services like SharePoint that may be on older hardware and as well as the OS. And so moving those off. So the having these announcements, we're going to see more and more. Hello, you need to pay attention to this. Not only is support for Office 365 Pro Plus on those environments going away, those OSs are going to have no support coming soon. So we want to make sure that you know this. And if you don't know this, and you're in charge of your server OSs in your organization, you haven't been paying attention, that's fine. You're here now, so you need to get off those OSs.
Yeah. I guess Office 365 Pro Plus support is the least of your concerns.
If the whole
OS is not going to be supported with security updates and feature updates.
So just to let you know, in the bottom, it talks about what you need to do to prepare for this change. And I know this is going to come as a shock to most people, but the Microsoft recommends if you're using Windows 7, you actually migrate to Windows 10. I know, shocker. I'll let that sink in for a moment.
Yep.
Microsoft wants you to be using Windows 10. So let that sink in.
Do use the most current platform. Yes. Not only because you'll enjoy some of the benefits of what's new and what's come out recently, and it'll increase your productivity and manageability and security and all the other itties, but it'll also keep you secure is probably the most concern.
Yes. So do we give this a shot when we move on to the next one? We have the next message is only in my tenant. Well, not only in my tenant. Daryl doesn't have the next message because it's concerning the U.S. So do we give this screen sharing a shot, Daryl?
Go on, do it.
All right.
It may or may not work. Here we go. Skadoosh. Oh, there he is. Yep, looking good.
Wonderful. Great. So the next message is a planned maintenance. It's MC196791, and this is for Power BI. And you'll notice when you look at this message, it's for Power BI North Central, U.S. So way to go, team, Message Center team, at targeting this announcement. Fantastic. So there is a planned maintenance starting December 14th, 2019, at 3 a.m. UTC, and ending 3 hours later at 6 a.m. UTC. And there's some recommendations here about when this time is over, what you'll need to do. So after the maintenance window, you need to refresh your DNS values. This is because the DNS is now pointing to a different IP address. So the new IP addresses are listed there. I won't say them, you know, but the new ones are there listed in the message. So you'll need to refresh your DNS, as well as if you have, and as well as if you are doing any power blocking on your network appliances, your firewalls and such. You'll need to update those IP addresses on your firewall. And you may need to also have your users, you know, close their browsers and reopen those, close all your instances of Power BI Desktop and reopen those to get those refreshes of your DNS and for it to work. So I want everyone to know about that.
It's good that we know, Daniel. And, you know, the these sorts of updates do come. They're all part of being a sysadmin and administrator of Microsoft 365. And if you have gone to that extent of saying only allow stuff through that should be allowed, and that's the kind of perimeter maintenance that you manage, then that's what you have to do. Update your IP addresses.
Correct. Two things I want to mention. Phil in the chat has said that he had one for US East in one of his tenants. Yes, I think this is probably all going through the whole US and will go to other environments as well, other tenants in other countries. But the second thing I wanted to mention also is if we have some people who are joining us, maybe for the first time joining the show, because we are broadcasting on Periscope for today, make sure you go to messagecenter.show and subscribe to our podcast, whether that's via YouTube for video or audio. We're on all the platforms. So anybody that's on right now, not normally joining us, make sure you do that.
Dan, switch back, you know,
yes, sir.
We might even consider making Periscope our primary. And recording and dropping it onto YouTube. I mean, if we can't figure it out, you know, for three weeks in a row, if I can't get some support from YouTube about how to figure this thing out. See, that I want to, like, do some interpretive dance here, and we'll stick on, like, the slightly bigger screen. You have a new, modernized YouTube studio. You have OBS or whatever software you're using to say, yes, let's connect to that live stream. Here we go. And the studio says, yes, I can hear it. I can hear it. I can see it. It's really good. But I'm not going to present a preview for you. And until you present that preview, you can't go live. But, you know, that's interpretive dance. Sorry for those on the audio podcast. I'll tap it out in the dive deep thing.
Nice. Tap dancing. Okay, maybe
moving
not.
Moving on, yes. Enough griping. My second message, or the third message for the show, you have this one too, Daniel. SharePoint List Modern Settings Updated Feature, MC196871. SharePoint List Appearance and Functionality as a Modern SharePoint Experience. It's good that we've got a screenshot or two to help visualize this. It is all about how this list looks, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this really is all about bringing the classic type of things into the modern experience. And I'm glad they're telling us about it. I was just in a conversation this past week about what is it about SharePoint Classic that makes organizations use it rather than going with the modern experience. And one of those things is features. The being able to have these column totals, for instance, that's fantastic. Being able to use those in our SharePoint modern list is great. And we're going to be able to do that. The, functionality around calendars was another thing. Obviously that's not in this update here. So I think it's great for them to be highlighting this. This is one of those for me that it kind of, is a balance between functionality that's coming new, because it's new, but it's also marketing, I think, maybe driving this. But honestly, every announcement that a company makes, whether it's in the message center or anywhere else, is ultimately about people using the product and using it better. Right. So I don't want to go too far down in that because this is new features. And then the second one being that being able to have those column formatting and having the alternating colors by row. So that's your
alternating gray to white in this one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Makes it easier to read.
Correct. And that's been actually been a big complaint in SharePoint now. You know, we're talking about this SharePoint Modern thing. It's been out for a few years, so let's go to SharePoint now. That's the thing about SharePoint is it's very white, and there's a lot of white space. I mean, yes, you could change that background color, but the default is white. It's very white, and so when you're having a lot of content like this in a list, it's sometimes difficult to read it. And so maybe, you know, I like the alternating colors this way. I do it on my pages actually as well, with having SharePoint pages to have, you know, you can have your sections be color, have the background colored. I do that alternating on pages too, because it's just hard sometimes to read when you're on a SharePoint page
scrolling. Where does that content start and finish? You know what else helps that view in this example of the list is that the thumbnail, the image column. So without that, you wouldn't have the kind of the nice gaps there. I think that's a really cool way of being able to present content in a list. It's those visual cues.
I agree. I think there's a conversation going on Twitter. Maybe that's what you were mentioning, you're alluding to before, about a lot of people making comments about Microsoft coming out of Ignite, Microsoft needing to provide all of the use cases for all of their products.
That was one conversation.
And I think Anna Chu had brought that up. But this is Microsoft showing you can use images and lists. And this is a case where I don't see this very often. I really don't. And there's some, yes, I've seen it in the wild, I guess, you know, with customers. But I want to... This is another, when you bring it up as, oh, that's a great way to separate things out. Yes, I agree with you, but I don't think it's used that often. Mm. I think, and so while Microsoft's showcasing you can do it, I'm not entirely sure that there's a lot of people doing it. Now, maybe the telemetry says different, but the using that, the alternating colors, I think is a great thing.
The images, I mean, they're specific to objects. This is a Contoso retail selling drones and other stuff. But in a general organization sense, we're probably going to see less about objects and more about screenshots and data and
I mean, there's definitely use cases. Don't get me. I'm not saying there's not. It's just, let's make sure we realize that, I mean, just as you're pointing out, hey, those images, you know, definitely separates the content. Well, okay, great. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have that use case all the time. That's
I was going to make a comment. Like, this does help with accessibility to some extent, so that, you know, it's easier to see. But now that I look at it, the consumer text or label in retail is another shade of gray. Release date is a funny shade of gray, backed by a blue. Maybe it's not so easy to read.
That's actually not easy to read. I think there's better examples that even Microsoft has, so I get that. I don't think we should. Let's just be honest. A lot of these screenshots are from, oh, let's go ahead and put a screenshot in there so they create a dummy list and create content and then screenshot it and then throw it into these messages. I mean, so don't take this as... gospel of exactly how you should implement this for your
These are the only swatches of color that you will be able to use. No, you're in control of that if you know your JSON. That was the second of the two. The first one was about enabling and disabling column totals in the modern user list experience. So those are useful too, aren't they?
I agree. Yep. Most definitely.
Well, learn more about that in a very helpful learn more section. What do I need to do to prepare for this change? There are references to what it is and how to do it.
Yep.
And the next exciting installment, we have Office 365 encryption.
Yes.
Which, look, security isn't always exciting, except for those who do get to do all the controlling. They're like, yes, I managed to turn this computer into a kiosk. But
Nice little dig there. I think, no, this is not, you know, one of the most glamorous. However, you know, these incremental changes, and Microsoft makes a lot of them in the security realm, I think are, you know, really good. And, you know, this one I like, especially number three, if you're going to be doing the message encryption then in Office 365, then they're working on those encrypted messages not being marked as spam so much. That's good, right? So the number two, I think, is really important. Microsoft has done this on several fronts, moving the messages from the generic Microsoft messaging, like
no SharePoint. Reply at SharePoint.com.
Yeah. Moving that away from that to using your accounts. And so they've been talking about doing that a lot. So here, using your domain, instead of the Microsoft's domain. So I think that's great to help you further identify this is actually coming from the source. This is not not the greatest of, oh my goodness, we're getting this wonderful feature that, you know, everyone's going to fall in love with and all end users get to see. It does help bring about a better experience. So the first one listed, updated email layout for encrypted messages. So they're not going to feature the Microsoft logo. So, okay. I think that's actually, I don't know. It will not feature the Microsoft logo when it's advising people about the encrypted message. I think maybe that's trying to reduce some confusion around, is this from Microsoft or is this from Daniel's company, right?
And the logo itself, I mean, I forget, I have to look up this every time, but there's a cool standard that allows you to, now when you're looking at an email from someone in a mobile app and it actually has their company logo where it might normally be a person's face if you've saved it into that contact, that's another security feature too. Is that right, where you think the Microsoft logo is when it's an encrypted message or in the body of the message?
That's where it is. I don't think it's in the body, but the, you know, under how do I need to prepare for this change? We got some great content here, Daryl. I mean, first of all, create your own branding for this one about the logo. Tells you exactly how to do that.
That's it. DKIM and DMARC. Those are what I'm talking about.
Oh, right. Oh, for the marking the spam. Okay.
Yep.
So for updating your email. So they're removing that, updating the email layout. So they're removing their logo, Microsoft logo. So you can create your own branding. So you can show it's coming from you. So what do you need to do to, if you've got any rules that are using messaging.onmicrosoft.com, you know, to route things around because that's what they were using before, then you need to update those rules. So if you're using that, which is good. I mean, if you've got rules, which, you know, a lot of organizations, if they're using encryption and encouraging their users to do that, they're going to have these rules.
Just got on the screen there of going into that addition messaging, and there's a nice screenshot here of
this one's got great content.
Yeah, so your image banner, you can say background colors, a read button, disclaimer text.
So the other thing is, because it was coming from that other domain, you didn't get bounce backs, but now you can get bounce backs because it'll be coming from your domain. To allow that, you're going to need to create a mailbox called bounces at, and then the domain you're using. You're going to need to create a mailbox for that. And then, you know, you can set up rules for that mailbox to forward those if you want to administrators or whatever. But so while this is not as glamorous as some of our other updates in previous weeks and this week, I think not only can we maybe give it a little bit of applause, we need one of those applause buttons there. So not only, number one, I don't even know if we called this, MC196886. This message has given us enough time to work on this because the rollout starts in early January, so we're a month away from that. It'll be completed by the 1st of February. So number one, they gave us enough time to act on it. Number two, they gave us a lot of information about what's changing. And number three, they gave us a lot of detail on how to prepare for the change. I would, if we had a way of giving kudos, which
three
we do,
thumbs up.
I'm going to give a thumbs up for this message. Three thumbs up. Right.
Yeah, come on. Where's the third thumb, dude?
Yours.
Okay.
We have four thumbs. Okay, anyway. So I'm going to like this message in the Message Center and give that feedback that I love the detail, love the advance notice. And you can do the same, but I think it's great. And I'm ready to move on. If you want to give any feedback.
I'm ready to move on.
That sounded kind of...
Come on, Daryl, let's go.
I'm ready to move on.
Finishing off with SharePoint Team Sites Next Steps panel, which is all about guiding you to continue setting up your site. MC196889, in product help. We're seeing this pop up in all sorts of places. In fact, I've been rolling out Windows 10 and the new Office and guiding people to connect to their new mailboxes. So I see this regularly. Outlook throws blue bubbles everywhere to say, hey, check this out, do this, look at this. Yeah. But in product help is good, even if I have to see it 50 times a day.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's so this in product help, I think, is it's a great thing. The thing that I don't worry about it, but it's interesting is, you know, there's companies that are doing this, right? Mm-hmm. There's companies that are, that's their product is they are giving. And in fact, I know of two giving in context help. And so Microsoft has not done that to this point, but this is, I mean, there's been some, but it's not been great. But this is definitely seems like a jump into the world of giving some in-context help. I like it from a user experience. And remember, though, there's a difference between this, which is Microsoft, and people who don't work for your company creating these messages and saying, do this, you know, here's some other things you can do, versus using another product, like a third-party product to bolt on that gives you this in-context help, because in those products you can edit and you can make it your own. So I don't want you to think, oh, well, I don't need those things now that I've got this. That may be true, but you just need to evaluate it. So the one thing I want to point out here, if I may, Daryl, is that while the team who created the message encryption post was great about giving us notice, this one is not great about giving us notice. The target released customers mid-December, so you know maybe a week or so away, a little bit more, and then it'll be completed by the end of January 2020. So, yeah.
Yeah. This one that could be said that... prepare for change. Well, look, we're just giving you advice, so is that a bad thing? You know, we'll roll it out, and you don't really need that much notice.
I know, but this is a stay informed. Hey, we're just kind of doing this. Yeah, I get it. So I'm going to be a stickler for it until they come out and say, never mind. You know, because there was, I think, when we interviewed Mike Ziok at Ignite, Microsoft Ignite, and even before, the question was, would you prefer more information about the change, however, very little notice, or would you want more notice and very little information about what it was actually coming? And it was a very mixed bag. And while we did a poll and the majority picked more information, less notice, I totally disagree with that. I want both. But this one's okay. It's just, it's a pattern. It's a pattern for, hey, not giving us enough information. Yeah. So.
Look, there is a, if we're talking about another pattern, there's a pattern for using this new announcement button at the top. Oh, hey, Dean, thanks for joining us. Yeah, we're usually on YouTube, but catch the earlier part of the stream and you'll find the explanation. We'll drop the recording on YouTube a bit later on. The announcements thingo at the top right hand corner, which is used for even announcing new features in some of the online products, is being used to suggest these next steps for setting up your site. I do prefer them to be there than this modal window that jumps up over the top of my site or my SharePoint experience. You know,
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see because they don't show it here. So it'll be interesting to see it's the way it's described and the way it's shown. It's not going to pop up over top automatically. The user actually has to click the little megaphone. Now, does that mean then, you know, the megaphone will start getting incremental counters?
Yeah,
probably, I would think. And so we'll see how successful that is. But because telemetry will show people looking at it. But did they really look at it? Or did they just click up there because they're tired of seeing the red, you know, those that have OCD or don't like having a bunch of messages are in their inbox, for instance, will click up there just to have that counter go away. So anyway, we'll see.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, let's just to close out the show. There was that one observation that you mentioned earlier, that conversation feedback from Ignite about, hey, we want to hear more official use cases, I think was the discussion. We don't want to necessarily hear customer stories that are quick and we really don't know or can rely on them. But I think, how did you see that conversation play out?
I saw it play out kind of how I would expect it to play out. You know, the feedback being, we want Microsoft to tell us how to use the products, not partners. And the way, and you and I both know this, there are partner showcases, yes, companies who speak at Microsoft Ignite, but the majority of the non-Microsoft speakers are MVPs. And the feedback, you know, I read between the lines a little bit, but basically saying, I want more Microsoft speakers telling me this. I don't want to listen to, you know, MVPs saying this is how you should use it. And the conversation went to this point where, and I think it's, I agree with it. It's how can Microsoft know, number one, how everybody's using it when, you know, they're not in your company and they don't know these things. And they really see from their perspective of the getting feedback of, oh, we need this feature, we need this product. And so they create it. And then there's these alpha stages where they test with a couple of companies or a few companies, and then the beta, open beta, closed beta, not in that order. And then it's released to everybody. Okay, great. But really, the people who are implementing it are not Microsoft. They're not going into the vast majority of companies and implementing these software solutions or hardware solutions. And so relying on others to provide feedback, I think, is very important. Now, being, and obviously I'm an MVP and a speaker, and so you might want to take that with a grain of salt, and that's fine, whatever. But how Microsoft doesn't know how you should use it. And so if you hire me, which you can, hey, if you message me and say, Daniel, I want you to come in and help me with my company, and Daryl as well, right? You want us to come work with you, with your company, to implement something. Well, the first thing we'll do won't be, okay, everyone, now here are the features of this product, let's go. That's not going to be the first thing we do. It wouldn't be the first thing I do. The first thing I'm going to do is understand your business and understand, what are you trying to accomplish? What are the pain points? Why would you even look at this?
Exactly.
You know, and so you know, that feedback of, I want to hear from Microsoft to tell me how to use their product. They're the ones creating it, so they should be able to do that. But they don't know your company. And so that's why they rely on us. You ask Microsoft, they rely on partners to do that because we get to know you. We become your partner. And it's not about implementing software or hardware. It's about doing the right solution for you. Okay, I'm off on my soapbox, but that's the way I felt about that.
I'm picking up on the old tech intensity phrase that has been with us for a year, and I think this is an indication of customers really feeling it, that intensity, feeling the pace at which things are arriving, and they want an authoritative voice to say,
yes,
this is what's arrived. Here's some examples of how to get started. But there is no possible way for them to cover every way that it could be used. And like you've said, Daniel, partners are there, and when they've walked the journey with a customer, they are a collector of stories, because they're working with a number of customers. They start to see trends. They start to see certain ways that the verticals that they work with. Maybe there's a partner that just specializes in legal practices, and they'll see a few different ways that a new feature, a new thing is being implemented. So their story, standing alongside their customer who's willing to share, is really valuable. I think that's why Microsoft are so keen to get customers and customer stories on stage. The other point that was raised though in this discussion was the intensity of Ignite itself, and that when the 45-minute session, it's really difficult to gain that trust. It was Treb Gatt, I think, who brought that up, and that was a really good point. So how do we gain your trust? And really, all we can do is just tell a story and say, this is what's arrived. We were lucky enough to be pre-release customers to try this out. We're still figuring it out. We're waiting for your feedback, Microsoft saying, we're waiting for your feedback too to help us shape this product. So keep talking to us through user voice and other channels as well. It's a different world, people. This is how software is created now.
It is. It's totally different. And you just alluded to that fact of, hey, it's an iterative process. And
it's a partnership.
And a lot of people don't want that. They want, you know, you've released a software product or a service, and we want you to tell us what are the 10 ways we could use this?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's just released. We don't know. And they're going to iterate in 3 months, in 3 weeks, they're going to release something new to it. So and I understand it. I 100% understand. You want it to be, you want to know how to use it. You want it to be stable and these new things coming at you. And so I get all of that. I get it. And it's not, but the solution isn't Microsoft providing you all of the ways to use it and giving you all the solutions and really enabling you with via documentation and videos and all that of showing you exactly how you should and should not use products. They're not going to do it. In fact, they provided you with multiple options of messaging. And I mean, let's understand that, you know, there's multiple ways to manage files in Office 365. There's multiple ways of doing a lot of things, and you're just going to have to get used to it. You're going to have to pick one and run with it. The other thing I think is, and I don't know about you, but I'm running into a lot more in this day and age. We need more of a partnership, because it isn't here's the software and here's exactly how to use it. And I know it because I've worked with companies and this is how they do it. We can't be doing that anymore because the software changes so much and people and organizations are so different. We actually have to do a little bit more of understanding your business just to understand what would be best. You could run with it and try it and see what happens. But I'm getting more pushback on the opposite direction of, I don't want you to do discovery. Discovery is such a bad term now. No discovery. I want you to just implement.
Yeah, well, when partners don't do it well, though, I think that's where customers do get concerned that, you know, sure, you can go this like journey of developing this plan using a ballooned method, and then at the end of 4 months you've got a plan, and no one executes on it.
And I get that, and a lot of companies have been burned that way in the past. Yeah. And I totally get that. There's been a lot of there's some organizations that have handled their clients that way, and it's terrible. But you know, we need this. You and I and Daryl and his customers, we all need this for help. We know the tools, but we need to work with you to implement those tools. I didn't mean to digress, but I think that conversation is this, it does, like you said, play into this whole things are changing so fast. We're in this journey together. And you know, you're looking for an expert of a tool that was just released a month ago. What do you
even
call
Microsoft is still figuring it out, and they're the stuff, they're the people writing it. So Anyway, this felt like we just did a deep dive without
we did.
Out. Yeah. We did. Yeah. So, yeah, audio podcast people, Daniel's taking a break this week. We've just done the deep dive. You've had your additional session of 10 minutes of talk about how software works and how the community creates it and shares the stories together. See you again.
Bye for now.